following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Coming to you from the center of the National Football League universe, at least for, this week? Zach Zaidman with you live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, with my partner out in Hawaii, making sure that his body is getting ready for the 2014 season. Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Zach, how you doing? You know, it is the same universe, the Combine, but it's attachable because we have the information out here. We hear the interviews. We see the contestants getting ready to line up and give us their best at the 40. So you can be separated by distances nowadays, but you're so attached to the NFL, it's a great opportunity to have a chance to listen to what Mark and Phil have to say and be able to get a feeling of what the future is going to be like.
Both Phil Emery and Mark Trestman spoke to the media here in Indianapolis. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, I will chat with both Phil Emery and Mark Trestman, as well as former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, and your buddy Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, will join us on the program as well. And don't forget, we've also have Ask Tom, the star-studded game show in which you have an opportunity to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority by asking Tom a tough question, an intellectual question, a question that makes him think hard for an answer, that the kind of stuff that you don't get on every other program. So 312-644-6767 is the phone number. A little bit later on this hour, we will play Ask Tom. The best caller in that segment will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But let's start with the news of the day, Tom, and that is the official announcement today by both Phil Emery and Mark Trestman that Shea McClellan is no longer a defensive end. Phil Emery's number one draft pick as Bears general manager now becomes a linebacker. The question is, what kind of linebacker? Is he going to be a middle linebacker? Is he going to be a strong side linebacker? Apparently, he's going to be studying both this offseason.
Right, and you have to. If you're going to play linebacker, you got to be familiar with all three positions because you're going to be involved in adjustments and audibles a lot like on offense. And with that being said, I'm glad that Shea McClellan's getting the opportunity to try to flourish at a different position. He's always displayed the desire to want to be a great NFL player. Now, if it takes a change of venue, different positions, something to be able to stand up and see the offenses and then react differently accordingly, I'm excited about the opportunity because I think Shea has the athleticism in him. Now it's a matter of the personal investment he wants to put in until the OTAs get here. Spend some time with the linebackers coach, getting to know a new personality and the way he's going to be coached. So Shea has a lot of commitment, but I think it's an interesting commitment the Bears are making to him.
Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority rolls on here. Zach Zaidman live in Indianapolis. Tom Thayer is out in Hawaii. We'll hear from General Manager Phil Emery coming up in our next segment. Also joining us this hour, the head coach of the Bears, Mark Trestman. Now, what I find interesting, Tom, is that Emery today talked about why it didn't work out with McClellan as a defensive end. But he's not ready to give up on McClellan being an impact player with the Bears because he feels that all the stuff you just talked about, the athleticism, his motor, his desire to be a good player, all that stuff matters. But the reality is it didn't work out at the position that they felt he would be able to have success at defensive end. And what's the reason for that?
There's a lot of experiments that you have to make in order to get a proper judgment on a player. And, you know, if Shea was considered undersized as a defensive end when the opponent was getting ready to play against the Bears, he was going to be a guy that they were going to try to attack with double teams, point of attack, to see how he held up against that one task that all defensive ends have to stand up against first and foremost. And, again, it's not about Shea's lack of desire to do the job. It's just not fitting into that position against the talent he was going against at an NFL level. And with that being said, I think it's the respect of his athleticism that Phil has for him is the reason he's getting up, getting a chance to stand up and see things differently. And you hear other names in the NFL that you want to compare him to. But I think the beginning of this experiment, it's all going to be about Shea McClellan. You know, don't talk about other guys that have made the transition. Let's watch Shea mature into the position, see the adjustments he's able to make throughout OTAs and training camp, and then we'll evaluate him when he has, you know, 3 to 5 weeks in full pads, because that's when we're going to get a chance to see what Shea is turning into.
For people that haven't played the game, why is it such a big difference when you don't have your hand in the ground?
You know, because it's the thought process of what you have at each position. When you're a defensive end, you're saying immediately, okay, he's a tight end to my side. If not, I know I'm the weak side. I know they have a tendency at a certain percentage rate to run to the weak side, so I may be susceptible to a big play here. Now from a linebacker, you stand him up, and he's making adjustments according to the adjustments of the offensive players behind. And they may go from being, you know, having a tight end there and then a tight end's gone. Now you've got an H-back coming at you. There's different angles of attack. But now you're seeing it from a two-point stance, and you're making your thoughtful adjustments according to what you're seeing the offense do. And that's where the challenge will be for Shea, is be able to take your iPad home and watch extensive amount of tape of the NFL to see what different quarterbacks' coaches will do to certain players. And that's where, you know, Shea is going to have the best opportunity to flourish.
Jonathan Bostic's future with the Bears, what position do you think it's going to be?
What does he want to play most? You know, I think that's an interesting question, because if you ask Jonathan Bostic, where do you feel the most confident in starting the season next year? Maybe that will give you an indication how Jonathan feels. Athletically, he's got the ability to play anywhere. The desire to make big hits, he can tackle from any position. Again, like the transition that Shea McClellan has to take, Jonathan Bostic is going to have to spend a lot of time studying offense to make sure that he uses his speed as an asset and they're not using his speed against him, trying to get him one step, two steps out of position where there the hole is created or a route is run. So that's, I think, Jonathan Bostic true abilities are going to be seen when he becomes more familiar with offenses before they ever snap the ball.
The Bears say they're going to be a 40 front, but they're also a team saying that they're going to use the athletic ability and the playmaking ability of the players that they have correctly, meaning there are going to be times where they don't have that 40 front. What's the Bears defense going to look like?
Well, I think they have the philosophy of four down linemen. But if you can transition a personality like Shea, or you get the multiple uses out of a guy like Corey Wooten, I know that Corey's a free agent stuff, just seeing if they have a standard four-man front. But now, according to the down and distance, I don't know if you're always going to see four guys in a stance. You may see two big down defensive linemen and other guys in a stance. You may see three defensive linemen in a stance and rushers on this stand-up outside. I think that's the key ingredient, is you have to be able to morph your front to be confusing to the adjustments they're making on the line of scrimmage. And if you go back to the Super Bowl, regardless of the adjustments Peyton Manning was able to make, you were able to take advantage of the athleticism of the front of the defense to create a negative on the offensive line.
Tom, coming up next, we'll talk with Bears general manager Phil Emery. We'll find out what exactly the Bears are trying to accomplish here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. Zach Zabeman, Tom Thayer with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Coming up a little bit later on this hour, we'll play Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. You can ask Tom Thayer anything about the world of football, and the best caller of the segment will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Also this hour, we'll be talking with Bears head coach Mark Trestman here from Indianapolis. We'll also talk to former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, as well as the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. But it's been well documented how often Phil Emery is on the road during the college football season, watching all the top prospects. So the Bears GM, well acquainted with the players here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, but there are still things Emery can pick up here in Indy.
It's great to see how players interrelate with the top-level players in their draft class, to see who the alpha dogs are, to see who competes at a high level and that is willing to compete. Those players that show up and do all the drills and do all those say a lot of things to all the personnel people here at the Combine. And it's great when you see the matchups, even in the drills, and you can compare and contrast their level of athleticism and speed and quickness and reaction ability. So it's all valuable. It's just another step in the process. It's not the end-all to be-all. It's part of the process that we all look forward to seeing.
We often hear that the interview process is a very big deal. Is it for you, and what are you looking for when you bring a particular player into the room to talk to?
Yeah, you know, Zach, this is my 16th draft. So those interviews have gone in all different directions. And really what I'm looking for us, especially for our coaches, because this is their first true exposure to these players. So I just want them to relax and get to know the player. I mean, if there's any obvious issues that we've uncovered, or a lot of the issues generally are made public before they get here, we'll discuss it. But it's about getting to know the player and see if we have a comfort level. And then if we do and we need to learn more, we'll either bring them in to Hallis Hall to talk to them, or we'll go visit them on campus to do more extensive interviews, because those interviews are 12 minutes long. Individually, our scouts at All-Star Games get a lot more extensive interviews with those players because there's a lot more time. But the way it's rotated, really what you want to do is just to make sure that you have a comfort level with the player. And if there's anything else that you need to dig on, like learning, ability to learn your offense, who they are, how responsible they've been, if they have any issues that are going to derail their career, if you want to get more details on that, we'll spend more time with them either in our building or at their hometown or their campus.
Having done this for 16 years, do you have a strange story, something that's a curveball, if you will, from one of these kinds of sessions?
We've had some funny answers to questions, that, and generally we're very respectful of the player. But if they've said something that sometimes is very funny, we'll all hold in our laughter. And when they leave, we might have a room breakup. So we've had some light moments, and we've had light moments with the players. They'll know they have said something funny. So we try to have fun. You know, I've been in situations where we try to really stress the player and really pinpoint them down on some issues. But it really comes down to, hey, first exposure for coaches, give them a chance to get to know the player. Generally in personnel, we know the player much better than our staff does, but our staff is an important part of the evaluation process, so let's give them a chance to sit down to know the player.
Visiting with Bears general manager Phil Emery, can I fire off some quick Bears free agent questions? Obviously, you don't like to go into specifics, but a lot's been made about Julius Peppers and what his future may be, and specifically the cap number for this season. Now, you've dealt with tougher issues, I think, with the cap a year ago. What's the thought process behind when you can keep a guy from a cap standpoint and when you have to do something?
You know, every individual player is different. That's not an all-Julius question. That's an all-team question. At the end of the day, once we've gone through this entire process, Zach, the UFA market, signing back our own players, the draft, college free agents, signing street free agents, grinding on the roster through camp like we did last year, signing, bringing in a David Bass, trading for a Dante Rosario. It's never really finished until about 2 days post the cutdowns before your first day or first game. So it's all about how do you make it all work. It's not a single individual player question. It's about finding the best solutions to give you the opportunity to win a championship. So short answer, step by step, day by day. We'll work through it, and it evolves and comes together. And obviously we have a plan behind it, and like all teams, at times we have to adjust that plan depending on who's available or who we've been able to sign or who we haven't been able to sign.
Last year you hit it big with Kyle Long and what he was able to do immediately. That has not been the case with Shea McClellan, but you're not giving up on him. Why? What do you see that maybe the critics don't when it comes to McClellan?
Yeah, you know, Shea has a high-end subset of athleticism, you know, hips, feet, balance, body control, speed. He's going to be a big linebacker. He'll be our biggest linebacker. He has versatility. despite the sack numbers not being impactful overall. I think he was our second leading person with sacks. He was our leading disruptor against the quarterback. And I just to give you a little insight, you know, what that means, you know, normal completion rate without disruption on the quarterback is 64%. This is data since 08. All games, all throws. When you disrupt the quarterback, the completion rate goes down to 38.5%. So it is significant when you have a disruption, and Shea has led that. So he has a skill set that tells us that we still have a really good player here. We just got to put him in a position where he can have more impactful plays.
A lot's been made about the defense remaining a 4-3, but there are going to be some different looks that Bears fans haven't seen from the Bears defense, at least over the last decade. Can you give us an example when you look around the league at what you're trying to emulate based on the success that perhaps another defense has had?
Well, not so much copy anybody. What we're trying to do is make sure that the skills of the players that we have on the Bears, whether they're here now or in the future, are fully maximized. And that's why we hired coaches with a variety of skill sets and experiences, 34, 43. Some of them run Bear fronts, multiple fronts in terms of multiple packages in coverage and putting pressure on the quarterback. What do our players do well, and how do we set them up to succeed?
And finally, on special teams, there were some weaknesses last year. Where do you have to get better? And there are a number of specialists that are free agents at this time. Do you need a complete overhaul, or are there enough pieces that you have in place to upgrade that area of the football team?
You know, let's go back to teams. You know, I know that Rich Goslin, who's a friend, does his rankings. There are several sources of rankings. We do our own internal rankings, and where we ended up overall was exactly where we finished last year. When we take the same data and apply it to the same formula internally, we ended up in the same spot. Where we have to improve, our punting game has to improve. You know, we were 32nd in gross yardage. Our net return was in the lower end of the league, if I'm saying that correctly. But we've got to improve in the punting game. And we want to continue to improve in terms of, we did a great job on our kickoffs in terms of pinning our opponent inside the 20 as part of our system. We do a lot of, you know, higher sky kicks. That also causes us to have that starting position, opponent starting position in a low area. We want to continue to improve on that. And that's improving the consistency of our coverage players, getting better depth that way so that we get down there faster.
Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
Interesting stuff from Bears general manager Phil Emery down here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. Coming up next, we'll hear from his head coach, Mark Trestman, talks about defense. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Zach Zaidman with you live from Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're going to play Ask Tom at the bottom of the hour. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to play Ask Tom. You can ask Tom Thayer anything you want about the world of football. Best caller in the segment receives a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Coming up also a little bit later on in the show, we'll talk with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here at Indianapolis, as well as the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak. But now, let's talk a little bit about Mark Trestman, the Bears head coach. This morning, during his news conference with NFL reporters, Trestman said he holds himself accountable for what happened to the Bears defense last year. I asked him to explain what that means.
It's a great question. I mean, what I do is, what I'm saying is that, you know, how we meet, how we work, how we practice, how much I'm involved, decisions that are made roster-wise on game day, are part of my decisions. You know, what I allow the coaches to do and what I don't allow them to do. You know, that all starts with me. So ultimately, it starts with me, and that's why I hold myself accountable. Does that mean that I don't hold other people accountable? I do. I tell the coaches all the time that, you know, they're in charge of their departments, and their departments need to show a profit. And when they don't, we have to evaluate why. But it still starts with me.
The news came out this week that the Bears are going to remain a 4-3 base defense, but you've hired a bunch of coaches with a lot of experience coaching 3-4 defenses. Is there a defense around the league that you look at that you would like to be like in terms of the flexibility that you keep talking about?
I think we look to ourselves. I think everybody wants the same kind of defense. They want to be fast and relentless and physical. They want to be able to run and they want to be a hit. You know, that's universal with every team, and whether you're looking at the Super Bowl team champions or the 32nd team in the league, that's what everybody wants to do, and they want to be disciplined in terms of taking care of their assignments and then being able to run to the football and knock it loose and turn it over. You know, we saw a lot of that in the first three games of the season. We don't want to lose sight of that. I mean, we also know what we saw at the end of the season, and we definitely want to lose sight of that. So we go back to where we were in the first three games. We were plus 11 on defense. We were running the football. We were 3.8 per rush on defense. We were doing all the things that Chicago Bear defenses want to do, running, hitting, being physical, hitting the quarterback, and turning it over. And that's where we want to get back to. So it's not what everybody else is doing. It's what we want to get back to. And as I tell our football team all the time, collectively, we want to play football here with a defensive mentality. That's Chicago Bear football. Offensively, special teams, the same.
Defensively, you were that type of defense early on with veterans, but you've gone on record and said that you're going to be a younger defense
next season.
Can you still be that effective with
young? We've got to start somewhere. We've got to have a vision of what we want to do. And then what we feel we've done is we brought in coaches that we think can help us get there. And that's a very difficult thing to do, letting go coaches of high character and high integrity. But moving forward, we feel we've got new coaches in here that not only have the experience to help develop these players, but depending on where we go personnel-wise, we are a 4-3 team, but allowing us the flexibility to utilize our best players, our 21, 22 guys each and every Sunday on defense to be able to stop teams and turn the ball over.
Two of your most important young players are Shea McClellan and Jonathan Bostic. Can you elaborate on what the offseason plan is for them?
Yeah, we are getting started. The first is just communication, is letting them, introducing ourselves to them, Reggie introducing himself, Mel staying in touch, me making sure they're doing the right things. They're on their own. They're working out on their own right now. They're home at night, taking care of themselves, doing the right things. We got good guys. We got guys who are going to do that. That's number one. And then just keeping them posted on what's going on, and that's all we can do. We can't work with them. We can't coach them on the field until April. So the most important thing is just communicating with them, making sure they're on task, you know, and then Mike Clark just communicating with them on questions that they might have, you know, getting in touch with them on their training process. That's really it.
So they're mentally preparing themselves to potentially be either middle linebackers or strong side linebackers.
We have to go that route. We don't know where we're going to be. We don't know what the draft is going to be. We know that we're going to have Kasim and others being in a position to back up Lance at the will linebacker. But right now, where our roster is, it's Mike and Sam, and what's the best combination there? And we don't even know who the linebackers are going to be. We don't know whether DJ's going to be back. We don't know what free agency is going to bring us, and we don't know what the draft is going to bring us. So those guys would have to be ready to mentally, and we feel they both could play those two positions.
At safety, how difficult is it going to be for Chris Conte mentally and physically to overcome what happened in that last game?
You know, he's a young guy. You know, you've got to have a short memory in this business, particularly the defensive back. It happens to everybody. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Chris comes back. He's a smart guy. He loves football. He's obviously, anytime you have adversity, the hardest thing to do is to embrace it and to move forward. But that's what we try to teach guys, because on the defensive side, it happens all the time. Adversity happens, you know, and adversity happens to all of our players during the course of a game. And you got to put failure behind you and move forward, and you got to do it in a positive way. And hopefully Chris has put that behind him and has moved forward. We certainly have.
On offense, Roberto Garza played such a key role for you guys a year ago in terms of being able to call the plays as the center. If he's not back with the Bears, what kind of a challenge does that present?
Well, it's exciting, like it was to put our whole offensive line together last year. We put two free agents to the left of him. We put two rookies to the right of him, and it was challenging. So, you know, we've got experienced coaches who have gone through all of this. It'll be nothing new. We hope and expect that Roberto will be back, and we certainly want him back. I want to make that very clear. He's as important to the leadership in our locker room as he is to the offensive line. They go hand in hand. He sends a message. He leads the way every day. Hopefully that'll work out. And we'll see how it goes. And at the end of the day, we hope to have him back, and if certainly have the experience and the staff to be able to move forward. But that would be with any free agent. We've got to be able to – we expect to have to do that.
Before I wrap up here, on special teams, the play needs to get better. Would you agree? And in what areas?
Well, you know, we're going to work in all areas to get better, and that starts with – you know, the utilization of our people. We feel there's no better guy to get it started than Jody Camillus. You know, we've got to do a terrific job. You know, we'll continue to grow in our return games and our coverage games, and just to simply get better and be more physical. There was a lot of good things that showed up on tape, and we'll show the guys that, and we'll work hard when we get them back to show the improvable areas as well.
Mark, thank you.
You bet, Zach.
Mark Trestman, the head coach of the Bears. Basically, his team still a work in progress as the offseason rolls on here in Indianapolis, home of the NFL Scouting Combine. Coming up next, your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We play Ask Tom. Rapid-fire questions that you get to Ask Tom Thayer next. 312-644-6767 on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. It's time to play Ask Tom on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Tom Thayer, the Super Bowl Bear, is out in Hawaii. Rapid fire style, you guys get a chance to ask Tom anything you want about football at 312-644-6767. At the end of the segment, I will name the best caller of the segment, and that caller gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Are you ready, Tom?
That's why you're king, Zach.
Let's begin the festivities in Glen Ellen with Mike. Ask Tom.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tom. How are you? Tom, we know what the Bears have to do to put a good product on the field, but what do they have to do to build a championship organization?
You know, I think they're on the right road. And a couple of key phrases Phil Emery was talking about when he's trying to evaluate the players first, because you're talking about a winning organization. He's got to find guys with the will to compete. Because the job of a professional athlete becomes pretty monotonous when it's during the regular season, you're just going through the grind, and it is a struggle and it's a challenge. So I think with Phil Emery having the design and getting guys in here with the will to compete, that's one way. And then Mark Trestman, what do you do with young players? You get experienced coaches to get in here to accelerate their learning curve. And I think those are two key elements in the way the franchise is going, if you're going to talk about young talent on defense, experience at coaches, and then Phil making the decision along with the scouts, finding the guys that want to compete, because they're really, the surface is unscratched in how well they do, but they got to come in to be able to compete.
Ask Tom rolls on at 312-644-6767 with Steve in St. John, Indiana. Steve, ask Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Jake. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question. What do you think Peanut's going to mean to the team if he ends up coming back or if he gets released?
You know what? Peanut, you know, he's so well-respected in the locker room. If he comes back as a, he's going to be a bona fide leader in the locker room. But, again, you got to get the business side of it. You got to be privy to the medical information when you're trying to make a decision on an experienced veteran. If, like Phil says, what's best for the team? Does he see him being able to go 16 games a year? And those are some of the elements of decision that we don't get to see, but they have to be made.
Two good questions so far here on Ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line here in this segment. 312-644-6767. We continue with Michael in West Ridge on Bears All Access.
Hi,
hey,
Tom.
Michael.
I got a question. With respect to using the Seattle Seahawks as a defensive template, and obviously all the players on a defense are in a symbiotic relationship with each other to make a defense great, do the Bears need to focus on getting a stud defensive backfield in order to accentuate the productivity of the defensive line, or should we focus on getting a stud defensive line to accentuate the productivity of a defensive backfield? Where should we focus?
That's a great question. I think if you give the quarterback a limited amount of time to make decisions, that's when you can probably get away with less in the back, because the pressure you're putting on him is such quick, such a quick decision that sometimes you make him think into weaknesses. But again, some of the decisions that Seattle made on their choices, they had to take a chance on him. And that's one thing that the scouting department and throughout the draft, is there a guy out there, a cornerback who's 6'3 plus that you're enamored with that maybe you have to take a chance on him to see if he can grow into one of those players. So, yes, Seattle is a great template, but you have to have those types of players in order to be that vicious.
Our final few moments here on Ask Tom on Bears All Access. Adam in Dyer, Indiana, you are on Bears All Access.
Yeah, Tom, congratulations on a great career and a great announcing career also.
Thanks, Adam.
You're tremendous. My question is, Bears football, Detroit Lions football, what is Bears football? Is it defense? Everybody's got their own team name for their own defense or their own football. What do you classify as Bears football? Is the Bears defense or what is it?
That's a good question, too, because I think that as Bears fans, we've been around. The Bears always talked about defense first, and the offense was always a second-class citizen. Nowadays, the offense is going to have to get you through struggles of young defensive players as they're turning into the players that they'll ultimately become. So I think when you go into the season and you look at the division, you're going to have to go out there and score points because Aaron Rodgers is still up in Green Bay. So I think the competitive sense, the Bears are going to have to initially go out there and win with offense and special teams and get that defense to take those steps during the season so they're different at the end of the season than they were at the beginning of the season.
Final caller for Ask Tom, Peter, in Lake Zurich. Hey, Peter, you're on Bears All Access.
Aloha there, Tom.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, quick question. In my book, Emery's betting 500 in the draft picks. When it comes up to his turn at 14, is it going to be what I'm seeing on Mel Kiper's board this year, or is it going to be another completely out of left field, one of these shocking who kind of picks?
Oh, man. I think obviously if the real talent is there, if there's a guy that has such glowing researched value of him according to the position that you need that could be a starter, it's going to be hard to pass up, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But I hear this is a deep draft. So you may be able to still be able to pluck that starter in the third round that, you know, has different value. So I think Phil Emery has all of us guessing. As much as Kyle Long was a surprise last year, so was Shea his first year. But, I think right now you can probably put it more specifically to the defensive side of the ball than anywhere.
Man, we had a lot of good callers today.
Yeah.
Tom, it was a star-studded lineup. I like the fact that Peter tried to butter you up by saying aloha to begin the festivities. Adam in Dyer, Indiana, started
Michael
waxing
had a
poetic.
Multi-dimensional question, too.
And that's why I think I'm going to go with Michael from West Ridge as our winner here for the gift certificate to Sports Authority, because if we learned anything in the Super Bowl, it is that defense wins championships. You had the best offense in the history of the league in the Broncos, and they could not score on an outstanding defense that Seattle had. And it's a multidimensional question, and I think it's a key for the Bears going forward. Everyone knows they have to build a defense, but how? That's why I like Michael out of West Ridge. He wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority. When we come back, we'll talk with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, next from Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Zach Zabe, we've got Tom Thayer in Hawaii, and also on location here at the Combine in Indy is the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, who joins us now. He was there for all the news conferences today. What's the biggest thing that you took out of what Phil Emery and Mark Trestman had to say today, Jeff?
It's a word. It's just a process. You know, they can't tell you definitively their plan. That's not going to ever be the case, certainly with contract negotiations with all the free agents they have. So that's one aspect of it. And secondly, just that they are considering Shea McClellan for, in addition to strong side linebacker and possibly a 30-front defensive end in pass rushing situations, is middle linebacker. So, you know, they're keeping their options open with Shea McClellan.
Hey, Jeff, but how are they going to make that decision? Day one of OTAs, when they break the defensive huddle, how are they going to start that initial day?
You know, you're going to have to wait and see who else is in the mix here. You know, they mentioned DJ Williams by name today. They'd like to consider bringing him back. That would be your middle linebacker competition right there. And I just think right now they're going to compete with Bostic and McClellan at both of those two spots. You throw in Kasim Green, and if they re-sign DJ Williams or bring someone else in, those four guys, five guys, would compete for those two positions next to Lance Briggs.
Talking with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Reading the tea leaves, what do you think the Bears' front line on defense is going to look like?
I have no idea. I mean, we're talking about 16 of the 25 guys that are free agents, their own free agents, are on defense. And you have guys coming off injuries, several guys from Corey Wooten to Henry Melton to Nate Collins, if they bring him back as well. I mean, it is a complete up-in-the-air situation. Julius Peppers, there's three scenarios. That's really all I can look at. A restructure, which seems unlikely for a third time. An outright release, which is a possibility. Or just keeping him on the team with an $18.1 million cap hit this year, which seems very unlikely. So, you know, he's up in the air. There's just a lot of question marks. I think, you know, for sure you're going to draft at least one defensive lineman, and whoever that best position might be, pass rusher or interior lineman, and you start from there. There was a lot of love for Henry Melton today from Mark Trestman. Phil Emery was much more muted in that regarding Henry and whether or not he's in their plans, but I would consider that a possibility at this point. But everything I would imagine is going to be more towards the Bears' price. It would only make sense given their salary cap situation.
Well, you're down there for the combine. Is there any name, whether it's defensive line, linebacker, DB, that is kind of swirling around the Bears?
Well, because Mike Mayock had his almost three-hour teleconference this week, and he mentioned Tim Jernigan, the defensive tackle from Florida State, you're going to, and anybody along the defensive line, a defensive tackle or a pass rusher that would fit the Bears' scheme or what people believe will be the scheme, Tom, it is going to start out as a 4-3 base, but it sounds like they're going to be extremely flexible and use a multitude of fronts, which I think that's completely great. I think that's the more you make the offense guess, the better it is. And if you're going to add versatility to the roster, which is always a term we hear from Phil Emery, it could be just about anybody up front, any type of player. He likes big guys. He likes size. I believe he'll take that over any other attribute, as long as the guy can play, of course. You know, it's a big man's game, and he likes to add size. So I would look at the front and any type of guy that fits that particular style and can play multiple fronts, either a defensive end or defensive tackle, would be names you're going to hear swirling about here. And same with the secondary at the safety position.
Our final few moments here with the voice of the Bears, Jeff Joniak, on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We spent so much time, and rightfully so, I think, talking about the defense this offseason. But offensively, what does Phil Emery need to do this offseason to help that go to the next level? Because they were pretty darn good last season, but he even talked about needing to ascend another step.
Yeah, and so did Mark Trestman. I mean, they feel they left some things on the field, yardage and points, and that'll be a growth process in year two of that system. Completely understandable from Jay Cutler all the way through the entire team. Short yardage offense with a brand new offensive line. You know, you can make a case that, you know, that was potentially going to be an issue. That's a group of guys that need to work together for a while, and they had two rookies up front, so those are areas they're going to work on. I think you should look and see where Marquise Wilson fits into the conversation in year two. He's going down to Florida, or has been already, working with Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffery, and where his development comes. He's a young guy, certainly very little experience at the pro level, and he did great at Washington State when he was playing. So, you know, that's a guy to watch. What they do at the running back position to help Matt Forte, and a tight end. I mean, there's always, you're never going to be happy. The more weapons you have, the better. Certainly the depth is going to be important also.
Jeff, good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us. When we come back, we will talk to former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. He has a different role at the Combine this year, very different than his first ever appearance here in Indianapolis. We'll discuss next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Tom Thayer will join me momentarily from Hawaii. I'm Zach Zaidman in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, where former Bears quarterback Jim Miller is back here. And you got to remember, this time he's a member of the media, like me, like you, Tom, but big difference from when he first arrived in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine 20 years ago.
It was a lot more laid back when I was here in 94, I can tell you that. I mean, none of the media, it grows every year. I read this year there's over 900 media credentials, so it is a lot bigger. It's more intense. It's more media intensified, but I think for the players it really hasn't changed. You know, it was pretty laid back. It just becomes like a speed dating event at night where you just go from team to team. Every 15 minutes you go to a different room where they have the opportunity to interview you and get to know you, but it was much more laid back, and you know, I kind of approached it as such.
What was the strangest thing that a team asked you when you were going from room to room?
Well, it really, I mean, it was really just, hey, getting to know, hey, how's your family? What type of athletic family? Some would get you up on a board. Some would watch tape with you. Some would ask you, make you repeat all their names. Like if you met the whole coaching staff, hey, what's your recall like? Could you recall all the coaches' names who you just met? But it was nothing, you know, out of the ordinary. I think they already had good data on my background. I came from a good family. Good upbringing, had good role models and brothers and sisters who I could look up to. But probably the biggest thing for me was really the workouts. When you're out there and they, you know, like they'll take a, it's really a bar to check your shoulder flexibility and stuff like that. Certain things I hadn't been exposed to in the past, but I thought I had a great workout. You know, granted I was a 6th-round draft pick, but I remember it was me and Gus Frat, and Gus Frat goes, dude, I think you had the best combine of all the quarterbacks. So I felt pretty good. And for me, at least it gave me a lot of confidence that, hey, I know I'm here with the best kids in the country, and I can hold my own. And that, to me, was the greatest thing that I walked away with.
Can I do a couple of quick hits with you on the Bears?
Yeah.
Phil Emery today was saying that, you know, the Bears are going to be a 40 front.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're going to be a 4-3 defense all the time. What do you think about where they're going from a defensive standpoint?
Well, I mean, even when you're running a 40 front, well, I think what he's alluding to is you have a lot what we call reduced fronts. There are unders, there are overs, you know, there are certain blitzes you can do. And a lot of people will call them hybrids, is what, and a lot of teams are doing that now. And they're going to gear their defense towards to whatever the direction of the talent that they prioritize it, to get the best guys that they can. And now what do these guys do best? And we will fit our scheme around those particular players. And so I think it's a clean canvas. I think they will allow Mel Tucker to put more of his stamp on the defense. It's no longer the Tampa 2 style of defense, and it'll be much different.
And what does that mean when he's going to have a little bit more freedom and flexibility, even though they're running a 4-3 front?
Yeah, well, it could be more blitzes. Could be Mike Sam Scrapes. Could be Sam Strong safety, Will Free safety. Could be, you know, all-out blitzes where you got to get guys that can go man-to-man on the outside. Could be that they run a rover. You know, maybe they potentially draft a guy where he's a rover defensive lineman who runs all over the defense and could line up outside the left tackle, could line up outside the right tackle, could line up inside in the A-gap. And just create a lot of different looks, a lot of havoc. You know, I think a lot of defenses do that in the NFL, and maybe the Bears are going towards that direction.
From an offensive standpoint, the Bears are now heading into year two under Mark Trestman, and they were averaging 28 points per game, leading the NFC in points scored last season. How much different is the offense going to look because they've got a year under their belt?
Yeah, you would think they're going to have even more room to grow, where they can do more. You know, again, year one to year two, I think you make your biggest growth and your biggest improvement. Look at what Peyton Manning did from first year in Denver to now a historical season in terms of numbers in year two. So guys get more on the same page. You've already banked all the stuff you've learned. Now you can add to it and do even more. And it doesn't mean that just because the Bears are focusing on defense that there's still not one or two players in the draft that could benefit this offense. You know, I think you're always looking to get better as a football team, and I don't think under Phil Emery or Mark Trestman any area is going to get ignored.
Jim, thank you. Appreciate the time.
All right, thank you.
Former Bears quarterback Jim Miller spending some time with us here on Bears All Access. Tom, you heard a lot of different voices on the show today. What stands out about what you're hearing about the Bears?
Phil Emery, again, saying what he's looking for is guys that have the will to compete. because, like Jim says, we all say, you're going to change throughout your career. They're going to make adjustments in your throwing style, your whatever the case may be. But if you have that will to compete, then anything is possible. And so I think that example and that experiment's going to be with Shea McClellan. I think even when you go out there and you look at these players that are going to come here and help the Bears immediately, that's an important evaluation point for Phil to start with. And I do think you'll learn a lot more about the player if he shows he's the guy that is going to be an example in the weight room on the practice field.
Good stuff as always, Tom. Enjoy the sunshine. We miss it out here.
Well, you don't need it anyways. You have red hair.
It's true. Hey, at least I have hair.
I know.
And I'm not complaining. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Greg Miller, our executive producer. The guys back in the studio in Chicago, Herb Lawrence. And, of course, Joe Ostrowski helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. Thank you for listening. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.